The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it's that time of year where you may be preparing to get the kids back to school, but for many children, it can be a difficult time. They put up a fuss with the very idea of getting back to the classroom. This even has a term in psychotherapy called school refusal. James Callaghan is a CBT therapist and author of Leo Roars, A Brave Lion's Guide to Overcoming Panic Attacks. And I have a copy of it in front of me now, and he's here to talk about school refusal. Good morning and welcome, James.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on.
Now, this is far more common than we think.
Yes, school refusal is getting more and more attention, which is really good, because now we're starting to really try to understand what this is all about. Okay, so like you said, back to school, a lot of kids are excited, a lot of kids are anxious about going back to school, and some kids will be able to kind of, you know, get into the mold and run with it.
Whereas, and be persuaded.
Exactly. Whereas some children are going to struggle with it. And really, I suppose school refusal is about difficulty getting to school and staying in school. And all children want to go to school, but I think it's more about figuring out what's stopping the child from going to school.
So how do you figure out what is it about this particular child's refusal to go to school today?
Yes.
That marks that out? Yep. I mean, how do you find out?
So I think something that parents can do is there's like steps you can do. So I think talking to the child and saying, okay, this is something that I've noticed. Fridays seem a little bit more difficult for you. Having a lovely open up a conversation. And then sometimes maybe saying to the kids, is it about Fridays? Is it about the maths? Is it about this? Is it about that? And sometimes children will be able to open up and say it to you. Sometimes giving them a menu of options will help them to open up more about it. Once you know what the child is worried about, then you'll be able to plan together what you're going to do, brainstorm together, so the two of you can make a plan together to help the child to get back to school or to stay in school.
So the idea of a menu-driven list of options, so the kid can say, well, it's I'm being bullied, or I don't like the person I'm sitting next to, or it can be something, I remember coming across years ago, bathroom etiquette, you know.
Exactly.
Didn't like going to the bathroom because she wasn't tall enough to reach the taps to wash her hands. And she liked to wash her hands after using the bathroom. Yeah. Simple thing like that.
Simply that. Anxiety. Okay, if you think about schools are a very complex environment. What people have to do in schools is to have to follow rules, listen, learn, eat around people, answer questions in front of people, remember homework, manage friendships. It's quite a complex environment.
So any one of those things could be an inhibition to a child wanting to go to school.
Exactly.
For example, the teacher might pick on me to answer a question.
Exactly. And lots of children are worried and anxious, so they're in school, but we can't see the anxiety. But what we see is a child who finds it difficult to get to school, doesn't get up in the morning time, doesn't get into the car. And sometimes it's kind of hard to explain what it is for the child to explain. But I think probing and trying to problem solve together is a really good way of a team getting the child in there.
Now, sometimes parents are looking for kind of big things, that my child must be being bullied. There must be a bully in the class, or something, you know, really serious. It could be something quite trivial by an adult's point of view that is causing the child not to want to go.
Yeah. So a lot of children who I've seen over the years that talk to me about, for example, what concentration in class. OK, but maybe they have an underlying ADHD problem. OK, maybe they have social anxiety where they struggle to make friends or to keep friends. Maybe they've had panic attacks and therefore they spend a lot of time trying to manage their anxiety in class. Or what we see is they spend a lot of time in the bathrooms or not going into specific classes. Environments bring up different challenges. So if a child thinks they're going to pass out because of a particular environment or a room, they may not start to go into that room, but maybe the parent may notice it, have a conversation and try to work on how to get the child in there.
Now, when you mentioned ADHD, you don't want to medicalise everything.
Absolutely not, no. But what we can do is we can be really curious about what the problem is. And once we know what the problem is, then we'll be able to work with the child.
Now, if a child, it turns out, is just obstinate, I can get away with this. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember during COVID, I didn't have to go to school and nothing, the sky didn't fall in.
Yes. A lot of children will say that, but a lot of children also want to learn. Okay, so lots of children will say, I actually want to go to school. It's just that
I can learn on my iPad.
Yeah, they say that sometimes too. And do you know what? I mean, children do learn a lot on their iPads, but a lot of them miss their friends. A lot of them do want to be in school. I mean, you will get occasional ones who don't want to go to school, and maybe that's another conversation about other options that they want to look at. But a lot of them want to go to school, but they find it difficult to get to school. And I think COVID has also created a lot of anxiety because house became a safe place, and a lot of social abilities.
You mean that we were telling our children that if you go out, you might catch COVID?
Yeah.
So therefore, the world out there is a dangerous place.
Exactly, exactly. But also children weren't able to move, for example, from sixth class into first year. Those years are missing, so suddenly they're back into second year and they've missed a lot of time. So I think that's something that's coming back.
And that transition, which should have been normal and predictable, becomes unpredictable.
Exactly.
Now, the kind of age group where this is most likely to happen, I mean, if you get to junior cert, for example, is that anxiety likely to have gone? Or is it primarily among the younger cohort, primary school children?
Yeah, it's actually both. I've seen children who have it 7 years of age, and I've seen children up until 17 years of age and 18. So it's, you know, it goes on. Okay, so younger children may present with kind of stomach aches and other things, whether they're not eating properly in school or not going to school. Whereas the older group can kind of maybe tell or have other telltale signs. But I think from speaking to lots of children and adolescents, it's really hard to pinpoint an age. I think it happens in lots of different cohorts of people.
Now, obviously, with the younger child, they can be lifted, put into the car, strapped in, off you go. You can't do that to a 16-year-old lad.
Yeah, exactly. Nor can you do it to a small child, because they're in a position where they think that control is taken. Whereas we want them to feel that they have control. They are safe.
You want them to decide, going to school.
Exactly. And this is where problem solving comes in. So the child knows that mommy and daddy understand the problem. Mommy and daddy hear from me. The school, they hear from me. And schools are fantastic. And they really work with children on lots of, on either phase-based back into school, or they give them handouts, they meet them at the school gate. They spend a lot of time trying to keep children in school. But maybe it's about just being aware of some of the telltale signs, or else asking children about real specific questions. And even whenever I'm speaking to children myself, and whenever they come to me, I can't even predict what the problem is until I start to dig more into it. And once you ask, the child will generally come up with a really good idea.
Now, the question of, you know, people these days very busy, two parents out working in many households, they don't have time for this kind of, if you like, negotiation first thing in the morning. The child says, I'm not going to school, end of. And they kind of have to force the issue because they don't have maybe an alternative child-minding scenario for that child.
Yes.
So they just have to force the issue and get them to school.
I think now that we're having the conversation, hopefully children and parents will be listening and the conversation can start today. I think that maybe preparing, so if a parent had found those problems with the child last year getting to school, well, then maybe it's time to kind of work on exposure or helping them to get more confidence to go into school. This conversation can happen in a car journey. It can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be a conversation that happens in the morning time. And the morning time should probably be the place where the child feels encouraged and supported, and positive reinforcement is given at that time to get them to go to school. And then lots of positive reinforcement after, because they've done a really good job. They've showed up. They've done their best. And I think that's better.
There's a text here which is quite interesting. I dislike the term school refusal. It implies that it's a choice of the student not to go to school. My daughter suffered with huge anxiety as a young teen and wasn't able to go to school until she actually received treatment and moved schools. It certainly wasn't a choice for her.
Yeah, absolutely. School refusal can be seen as someone who's refusing to go. Okay, it's not an accept or refuse thing. It's more about understanding that the child wants to go to school, but how can we help the child to feel supported and safe in school?
Now, you have a website called mindsinschool.ie. What happens on that website?
So Minds in Schools, after I have a clinic, and I realised because I had lots of children and parents coming to me, I set up Minds in Schools, which is dedicated to providing CBT online support for parents, where I talk about complex conditions such as panic attacks and OCD and trauma. I also have my book, which is out, which is Leo's Roars. It's on Amazon. And I wrote this to help children between the ages of 8 to 12 to understand panic, but there's also a part there for parents to be able to teach the children skills about how to overcome panic attacks.
It's kind of like a workbook.
It's a story tale and it's a workbook combined. I was really lucky to get it endorsed by Dr. Judith Beck over in the US. She's a fantastic person, and I plan to do more books of this. And the idea is to help younger people to understand anxiety, and also give parents the tools to be able to manage it and teach their children.
Mm. And at the end of the book, if you go through it, you'll have your certificate.
That's right.
This certificate is awarded to X for showing incredible courage and taking steps to face their fears.
Yes, and being very brave. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's from Leo. Presented by Leo the Lion.
Exactly. And the last thing is just about trying to, I think, help teachers to be more informed about anxieties. That's the last part of the website that I want to look at.
Yeah. Now, the question for teachers, are teachers expected to spot these things? I mean, obviously they'll spot an absence. And if someone is absent again and again and again, in theory, a truancy officer should be brought in if there's no doctor's reason for a child not coming in. But, I mean, teachers can't be everything.
Exactly. Teachers are really busy. Teachers are doing their best. From speaking to teachers, teachers have spent a lot of time with young people, helping them to feel safe. And I think teachers will have conversations with parents, you know, if the child isn't coming to school or struggling in school. So teachers are doing a lot of work, and this is just maybe helping them to understand bits and pieces of anxiety around anxiety.
Interesting text here from a sixth class special ed teacher. Often students having difficulty separating from parents, but they're fine once they're in school.
Yes.
Separation anxiety is a very common reason for school refusal in my experience. I rightly go to endless lengths to meet the needs of my students. However, the more schools and teachers are rightly expected to meet the significant needs of individual children for what is now many, many multiples of students on a daily basis, with the same number of staff ratio as we had 20 or 30 years ago, the more schools are doing less teaching and more crisis management.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this teacher is doing the best that she can for
exactly.
The
I
look,
teachers are doing their best, and parents are doing their best. And I think it's all about helping the child to feel safe. And you know, I think having a chat with the child beforehand, and having a quick drop off, and then maybe the little buddy or someone or a little pupil who'll help them to feel safe. And after a while, the anxiety will go down. It's just about spending a bit of time there and helping the child to know that it will go away, the anxiety. But if you just give it a little bit of time.
James, thank you very much for joining us here in studio. The website is mindsinschools.ie, and Leo Roars is the name of the book. You can find that on Amazon. James, thanks a million for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.